Good morning, Sanford. I'd first like to take this opportunity to express my gratitude for you all inviting me here to speak this morning. And also, I'd like to express my gratitude on behalf of my family and myself for y'all's continued support while I'm at the North Carolina School of Biblical Studies. I'm in my first year, and I will say I learned a lot, and I'll be finished in June 1st, and I'll be beginning my second year in August. And for those of you who didn't get a chance to meet me during the Bible class this morning, I'm Brother Jeff Patton. My family and I, we live in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and we worship with the Eastside Church of Christ, where Lonnie Smith is the preacher there. I'm here this morning with my son, Universal. My wife and my daughter could not be here this morning. My daughter, she's autistic and she's nonverbal. And we had a pretty rough week last week, so we thought it would be best that they didn't come to let my daughter readjust. The title of today's lesson is Yield Not to Temptation. Our greatest challenge in life is dealing with temptation. Now, this is especially true for a new Christian or new babe in Christ. Just to know that your sins have been forgiven, just to be bombarded by sin, and just be bombarded by temptation to continue in your sin, excuse me. But what exactly is sin? Sin can be defined as enticed to do evil. If you direct your attention to James 1, verse 12, the text tells us, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved meaning tested or tried, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him." This verse reveals the purpose in trials, which is maturity and growth. This verse also shows us that God keeps us faithful to him through the trials so that we persevere and endure. Now, if you were reading along as the brother read the text from James 1, verses 12 to 18, and if you carefully examine the text, you would notice, that there was a promise, there was a caution, and there is an understanding. First, let's look at the promise. What is the promise? The promise is the crown of life. How do you receive the promise of life? Crown of life. It's promised to you, but there are conditions. Let's look at the first condition. You must endure the temptation under trial. Now, this is possible. Jesus himself was tempted three times in the wilderness. If you notice Matthew chapter 4, where Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. And Satan, he's crafty. He'll come at you when you are at your weakness. What was the state of Jesus when Satan approached him and attempted him to do evil? If you direct your attention to verse 2 of Matthew 4, he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and he was hungry. Now, I don't know about you. I would be hungry. If I fast 3 or 4 hours, I'll be hungry. What was Satan's first approach to Jesus? If you go to verse 3 of Matthew 4, "Now when the tempter, Satan, came to him, he," Satan, "said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Once again, Jesus, he was hungry. He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Did he give in to temptation? Let's look at verse 4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So how did Jesus respond? He didn't give in to the temptation. He quoted scripture. He sought help from his heavenly Father, from his Father. There is nothing wrong with being tempted. The problem comes when we give in to the temptation. We should follow in Jesus' footsteps when we are tempted. We should reach out to God, consult his word, that we may have the strength to endure. What about Job? Now, Satan gave Job many trials and tempted him. Job, he lost all his wealth. His children were killed. And his body was severely afflicted. His wife and his friends encouraged him to curse God and die. But as you would notice in Job chapter 42, beginning in verse 10 and continuing to verse 17, after he had overcome all his trials, God blessed him greatly. In 1 Corinthians verse 10, 13, the text tells us, no temptation has overtaken you such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. God is not going to put any more on us than we can handle. We just have to trust in him and endure. When you are faced with trials and temptation in life, no matter how greatly they may seem to be, God is greater. He is almighty. He will not put more on you than you can handle. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were threatened to be cast in the fiery furnace if they did not obey Nebuchadnezzar's decree. I'm sure most of you all are familiar with that event. But for those of you who may not be familiar with it, let me direct your attention to Daniel chapter 3. Nebuchadnezzar, he was the king of Babylon. And he created a gold image and issued a decree that when all heard the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, and psaltery, and symphony, with all of the kinds of music, that they were to bow and worship the image. If they did not bow, they would be cast in the fiery furnace. Now, knowing this, most of the people, they obeyed the decree. They followed it. But there were some that did not follow the decree. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they did not obey the decree. Why did they not obey the decree? They knew they were not to worship any other gods. You can find that in Exodus 23. So when Nebuchadnezzar received word of this, he asked that the men be brought to him. And Nebuchadnezzar, he didn't want to throw them in the fiery furnace. So he gave them another opportunity to bow down. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego still did not bow down. They were faithful to their God to the end. We should also be faithful to our God to the end. Now they were cast in the fiery furnace. And the furnace was heated even seven times more. Not that it made too much difference. But while they were in the furnace, Nebuchadnezzar, he looked. And asked, didn't we put three men in the furnace? But he saw four. And he questioned, could this be the Son of God? So he asked the three men to come out of the furnace. And he looked at them and he examined them. There was not a hair on their head that was singed. The clothes were not burned. And they did not smell like fire. And he praised their God. He went from wanting to kill them in the fiery furnace to praising their God. And he promoted them. We have examples in the Bible to follow of those who endured temptations during trials. The trials that we may face may not be nothing like the trials that they face. They're just letting you know the things they went through those type of trials. That the things that we call so huge may not be that huge. But as I just stated, no matter how great the temptations we may seem to be, our Father is greater. He's mighty. He will not put more on us than we can bear. Now let's look at the second condition. The second condition is that you receive the promise, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If we refer back to verse 12, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. And then John 14:15 tells him, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So those who love him are those who will keep his commandments. And if you're in John chapter 14, if you go down to verse 21, it says, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. If you adhere to these conditions, you will receive the blessing that is promised to you, which is the crown of life. Now let's look at the caution. If you will, notice verse 13 of James 1. Let no one say that when I am tempted, when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. We cannot blame God for our temptations. Why? God cannot be tempted by evil, nor he himself tempts anyone. Has there been a time you had an encounter with a difficult life circumstance which turned into a rant against God or others or caused you to do something not in accordance with God's will? What may have been an opportunity for growth through endurance became a stumbling block through a fleshly response. Rather than take responsibility for your lack of godly endurance, you sought someone else to blame. And that someone was God. Now we also caution to be not deceived. Verse 16 of James 1. We must realize that every good and perfect gift comes from God. As you look outside, you see the sky, the clouds, the sun, the green grass. Look at all those good and perfect gifts that came from God. But there's one ultimate good and perfect gift that we receive from God. And that's his Son, Jesus, our Savior. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. God loved us so much that he sent his Son He doesn't want any of us to perish. He wants us to believe in his Son that we may have everlasting life. Now let's look at the understanding. Let me direct your attention to verse 14 of James 1. How is sin born? The first stage of sin is temptation. James 1, verse 14. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Verse 15. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to death. It gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. So it all begins with the desire. Let me paint a picture for you. Say there's a little boy. He loves chocolate chip cookies, and so do I. He goes into the kitchen and looks on the counter. He sees a glass cookie jar that's full with chocolate chip cookies. His parents walk into the kitchen. He asks his parents, can he have some chocolate chip cookies? They say no. He wants some chocolate chip cookies so bad. So they walk out of the kitchen, his parents. He looks around. There's opportunity. At this point, he's tempted. He hasn't done anything wrong. Desire plus opportunity equals temptation. Temptation, if you give in to the temptation, equals sin. And sin, temptation plus sin equals death. And this is a spiritual death. You will be lost. So how do we overcome sin if we have given into the temptation? Are we going to be lost forever? Guess what? There's hope. We have hope in Jesus Christ, who died for the remission of our sins. So how do we overcome our sins? First, we must repent. We must ask our Heavenly Father to forgive us for our sins. If you notice, Acts chapter 3, verse 19. In Acts 3:19, it tells us, if I can get there. Here we are. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. We need to repent, that our sins may be blotted out and they will be no longer held against us. Number two, we overcome sin by not being like the world. And number three, we must study and apply God's word to our lives. James 1, verse 18, of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Then verse 22 through 25, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Not only do we need to read God's word. We need to obey God's word and abide in it, that we may continue to be the brothers and sisters in Christ that our Heavenly Father would have us to be. When you give into temptation, you commit sin. Desire plus opportunity equals temptation, and temptation plus sin equals death. It's a spiritual death where you will be lost, but there is hope. You have hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. The fact that you're alive and here today means that you have another chance. You have another opportunity. You must endure temptation when tried and love the Lord as promised. And then you will receive the crown of life. If you're here this morning and you've heard the message, you know that we all are not perfect. We all, even Christians, sin, and we may give into temptation. But our goal is to not sin and to be able to endure and overcome the temptation. And we can with the help of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There are examples in the Bible to follow, and even Jesus himself. But in order to receive this blessing of Jesus Christ, you have to be in Christ. You ask, how do I get into Christ? Well, you must be saved. You get into Christ through salvation. We ask, how does one become saved? Well, I'll tell you. According to Scripture, Romans 10:17, you must hear the gospel. The gospel being the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Then you must believe the gospel. John 3:16. You must believe that Jesus, he died, and that he was buried, and he rose again on the third day. Then you must repent, Acts 17:30. You must have a change of heart, change of mind, turn away from those things that are contrary to God's word, and strive to live the godly life. And then you must confess, Romans 10:9-10. You must confess with the mouth that Jesus is Lord. And then Mark 16:16, you must be baptized. In baptism, you'll recreate the gospel of Jesus Christ, where you would die to your sin, be buried in the watery grave of baptism. There you would come in contact with the blood of Jesus Christ. And then you'll be raised to the newness of life, to be added to the body of Christ. And then 1 Corinthians 15:58. Live faithfully thereafter, and you will receive, as promised, the crown of life. If you're here this morning, you're subject to the call. Come now as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.